This is Clayton for Podcast Radio Business. We're joined by Luke Broad, Managing Director of Dacia UK. We're here to discuss why, with fleets and firms driving the UK EV rollout, who should foot the bill? Thank you for joining us, Luke.
Thanks for having me, Clayton.
I know that we've had you on Podcast Radio Business before, but people who may recognise the name, they might want to know a bit more about your role at Dacia UK.
Yeah. So I'm Luke and I'm responsible for Dacia in the UK. And what does that actually mean? It means making sure that we have super happy customers within our Dacia family, and also making sure that the brand is successful from a sales, after sales, and also more critically, a financial perspective. So if I was to summarize my role in 30 seconds, that's how I'd do it.
Now, when we spoke last year, that was around Good Friday, you mentioned that there was a big surprise coming. Mm. And you were obviously sworn to secrecy, but you knew there was something going on. But I didn't. And the rest of our listeners here at Podcast Radio Business wouldn't know either. So what it appears is that you've unveiled the Spring.
Yeah.
And the Dacia Spring. And as Europe's most affordable EV, the big thing is the price. But also, what other features or characteristics make the Spring stand out from the rest of the market?
At Dacia, what we are really proud about and something that we really push is providing accessibly affordable cars for the masses. And what do we mean by that? We mean providing cars at a fair price that have essential equipment in the cars. And when I say essential, I don't mean boring, you know. So, for example, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto. For me, that's an essential, and that's why it's fitted as in our cars. And that's just one example. And 2 days ago, we announced the Dacia Spring, as you mentioned earlier. And what is this car? It's a fully electric city car. And when I say it's a city car, it's quite a small car. I'd say it's the size of a Renault Twingo or a Fiat 500, this sort of car. And again, this car is no different from the rest of the Dacia range. It's super affordable. In fact, it's the most affordable electric car in the UK, with the entry level starting at £14,995. And we've not done the approach which some brands might do, which is launch a car at a super aggressive price point and then have a really expensive one. No, the top spec of the car is only £16,995, so £2,000 more expensive than the entry spec. And you ask the question, what do you get for that money? Well, you get things like Android Auto, Apple CarPlay. You get all of the ADAS and safety equipment that you would expect. So, you know, lane assist, cameras that do auto emergency braking. So the point I'm making is, although the car is super affordable, it has all of the features you would expect as standard anyway, and probably a little bit more, you know?
So would you describe the Spring as designed or more directed to private buyers?
I would say Dacia as a brand, our DNA is more aligned to private buyers. However, more and more fleet customers and fleet businesses are taking note of our brand because the entry cost is pretty low. You know, the most expensive car that we sell today is £24,000. So the entry price of the brand is quite low. And because of that, there's several tax benefits. And we also have in our Dacia Jogger product, which is a 7-seat family car, also available with a hybrid powertrain. It's really unique in the marketplace because you can get it with a hybrid. It's got 7 seats as standard. And there's nothing else like it in the market at that price point. So we're primarily retail. However, more and more of our fleet customers are seeing the benefits of the brand and wanting to talk to us a lot more.
Interestingly enough, fleets and firms, they're really driving the adoption of electric vehicles in the UK. And how do you see that reflecting in terms of Dacia's growth in terms of the UK market?
Yeah, I mean, if I can take your question and look at it through the lens of EV, because it tells an interesting story. What we see is that electric vehicles year to date, the sales of them have grown 21%. And that's only 2 months worth, right? January, February. However, the fleet market in those 2 months has grown by 28%. So let's call that 30%. And the majority of that growth is driven by EV sales. So what that says is EVs are selling really, really well to fleet customers. If I look at EV sales to private retail customers, actually the sales have been pretty stagnant for the past 2 years. You might ask me, well, why is that? I would say it's the entry ticket. The cost of buying an electric car tends to be a lot more expensive than a more traditionally powered vehicle. And also I would say the general uncertainty maybe and lack of understanding around EVs, how they work, how do I charge the thing, and just all of this new way of thinking and new vocabulary. It's taking time to get roots with normal retail customers. So fleet is flying, EV is driving that growth, but with this car, the Dacia Spring, we really hope to appeal as well to retail buyers who are a bit more price conscious. And when we're launching a car at, you know, 15K, not only is it the cheapest EV in the UK, it's one of the cheapest vehicles you can buy in the UK. So we're really putting all of our energies into this at the minute.
Going back to our brief discussion there on fleet.
Yeah.
The electric car salary sacrifice scheme, but try saying that after you've had a drink yeah. or two, has been instrumental really in encouraging businesses to adopt EVs for their employees. I mean, yeah. I'd never heard of it up until receiving the brief yesterday. Mm. I mean, how does that actually work?
So effectively, when you work for some companies, you receive a car allowance, and you can sacrifice some of your salary towards owning an electric car. And the long story short, there are major tax advantages provided by the government in using this scheme to purchase an electric car. And it all depends on what car you purchase and how expensive this car is. However, the savings over 3 years when a car is leased in this way can range anywhere between, you know, £5,000 over the 3 years to £15,000 to £20,000 over the 3 years. So the benefits are extremely advantageous for people who have access to this scheme and are able and have the opportunity to purchase an electric vehicle. What would be interesting, I think, is for not only the manufacturers to step up within the UK in order to encourage private retail buyers to purchase electric cars, but the SMMT, who is the body that regulates and supports the automotive industry, they also came to the table with some suggestions for government to help maybe stimulate some demand on the retail side as well. So I would say fleet is doing well and will continue to do well. On retail, the suggestions from the SMMT are things like halving the VAT rate on electric vehicle purchases, so to 10% VAT rate. The second thing is not considering electric vehicles a luxury vehicle when they exceed a certain price point. And just to explain that a little bit, for vehicles that have a recommended retail price over a certain threshold, I think it's £40,000, you have to pay a luxury tax when that vehicle is first registered of around £2,000. Because of the very nature of most EVs, they tend to be over £40,000. So most EVs have to pay this luxury tax. So another recommendation is to scrap this. And then the final one is linked to public charging infrastructure. And maybe not many people know this, but when an EV is charged in public, it's subject to a 20% VAT rate versus charging your car at home, which is only subject to a 5% VAT rate. So the request is to align it to home charging, to make the public charging infrastructure a little bit more affordable for EV users. So these would help stimulate retail for sure. And fleet, I think it's already on a pretty good trajectory and will continue to do so.
And if there is one criticism that I've heard of electric vehicles, is this concern about cost and or mostly infrastructure? How do you address those kind of concerns?
I mean, you only have to do some pretty basic maths to see what the challenge is with the public charging infrastructure today. Last month, so in February, the SMMT reported that 1 million electric vehicles are now driving around on UK roads. And to deliver those 1 million cars, it took 20 years to deliver 1 million electric vehicles. However, in the next 2 years, the industry is targeted with delivering 900,000 electric vehicles. So to simplify the whole thing, the industry has to deliver in 2 years what has been delivered in 20 years. And because of that, there has to be some really fast catching up of the public charging infrastructure, right? Today, there are 57,000 public charging infrastructure points in the UK. By the end of this year, the government targets 100,000 in the UK. It sounds like a big number, but to give you some context, in a country like South Korea, they already have 200,000, so double the charging. So all to say, and I know I've been talking a lot there, but it's to say public charging infrastructure needs work. We need more of them, needs to be more reliable. However, we are putting them in, and I say we, the government, us as a country, we're putting them in at pace. Is it fast enough? Time will tell. Time will tell.
Indeed. So how does Dacia envision the spring contributing to the government's zero emission vehicle mandate and that transition towards sustainable transportation?
Well, we've taken a really pragmatic view on electric cars because we see that lots of manufacturers within the industry, they're already doing the, you know, the big SUVs with all the technology and all this good stuff that is needed. However, at Dacia, we've taken a different approach and said, right, what do people who drive electric cars actually use them for today? And we have data spanning over 13 years that shows us the average EV driver travels 23 miles a day at 23 miles an hour. So we took this data and we said, right, well, we don't need to build a car that has a 100 kilowatt hour battery pack in there because that will add cost for us as a manufacturer. It will add cost to the customer because they have to pay for this thing. And it will add effectively a cost to the planet because you're utilizing the planet's raw materials. So we said, we don't need this huge battery. It adds weight, it adds cost, it adds inefficiency. So we put a small battery in our electric car. It's only got 26 kilowatt hour battery. And again, I know this is new vocabulary and terminology for lots of people, but for context, that's probably half the size of a normal battery in an average electric car. But because of that, we can offer this car at this price because people don't use their cars in general to travel 400 miles up the motorway, you know? So small battery, looking at a car that has the essential equipment in it, as I touched on earlier, and it's enabled us to create this highly efficient, lightweight, reliable vehicle at an amazing price point. And to answer your question, how will it contribute? Well, the car launches now. It will arrive in the UK, we're forecasting in October, so a bit of waiting time. But already in just 2 days, we've had 250 people reserve a car, which is, you know, a record-breaking thing for us. And before that, we had nearly 10,000 people register their interest for the car in just a two-month period. So the signs are positive. I think that the car is interesting for a lot of people, either first city cars or second cars. It's not going to be a car for somebody who's flying up the motorway every 2 minutes and, you know, needs to keep recharging it. It's designed for purpose, which is short journeys, inner cities, and maybe, you know, dual carriageway use from time to time.
I can tell by the confidence you exude in relation to the Dacia Spring, you feel that you are really onto a game changer here. Would I be correct in saying that?
I think so, yeah. I mean, we conducted some research and we asked people, what is stopping you from considering an electric car as your next car? And 2/3 of those people said, it's the price of the things. They're too expensive. And they're right. The average price of an electric car is between £38,000 to £40,000, you know? It's not an insignificant amount of money. It's easy to say that nonchalantly, but £40,000 is a hell of a lot of money, you know? Which is why we come along with this £15,000 electric city car. And to say it'll change the game, I don't want it to sound not humble or braggy, because this is not what we're about as a brand at all, but maybe it will make other OEMs within the UK sort of stand up and take a bit of notice and continue to drive that democratization of electric vehicle ownership, because ultimately the government has set strong targets for the industry. That is 80% of your sales need to be fully electric by 2030 and 100% need to be fully electric by 2035. So we've still got some time, you know, 10, 11 years to make this transition. But if you look at what's happened previously, it's it, you know, it's a short period of time to make such a transformation in the way we purchase cars, the way we consume cars, the way we talk about the vocabulary with cars. We're no longer in miles per gallon, we're in miles per kilowatt hours. You know, it's a whole new world that we're living in at the moment.
So if our podcast radio business listeners want to get their names on the list or find out how all of this works and maybe make that transition to EV vehicles, where can they go to for more information?
So if they head to dacia.co.uk, you'll see on our homepage a link that will tell you everything you need to know about the Dacia Spring. And also to give people some reassurance and confidence, for people who leave a £99 deposit on the vehicle, we will give them back £250 in value. So actually, not only is the car affordable, if you pre-order your car today, we will make it even more affordable by giving you back £250 in value. And you can use that for accessories, access to public charging infrastructure, or to put towards a discount on one of our wall boxes through Mobilize Power Solutions. So the car's already affordable, but if customers pre-order one, it's even more affordable. So it really is a no-brainer if you're thinking about making that transition.
Excellent. So Luke Broad, Managing Director, Dacia UK, thank you for joining us on Podcast Radio Business.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome.